started school, Tracy, in 1915, and I was 7 years old. Children didn't go to school when they were six in those days. We went to school when we were seven. And then we had 11 years instead of 12 years of school. From first grade through the 11th grade took us through high school and graduation. One thing about first grade I remember, I guess, was we had tablets. And one tablet was called Big Chief. And it was red with a big Indian chief on the front of it. And another tablet I remember was a large tablet. And, of course, the pages were ruled. They had rules on them. That's marks, you know, across the page. And that one was called Blue Jay. And that was my favorite because it was so beautiful. It was blue, and it had a great big blue jay on it. And I loved that one just an awful lot. We also had spelling pads separately, and they were long and sort of slender, maybe about 3 inches wide, and as long as a regular tablet. And we didn't do anything in that tablet except spelling each day. And as the teacher would give us our words, then we would write them, and then she'd come and around every desk and check the paper. Then she had a little book in her hand, of course, where she took the grades, and she would write the grade that we had made that day.
What kind of, let me see, what was I going to say? About how many people were in your classroom?
Well, we had about, 20 or 21 or two children. Now, the Abilene school system at that time was a pretty good size school, and we had, because we had three elementary schools, and one was on the north side of town called North Ward, and one in the middle of town called Central Ward, which I attended, and then one on the south part of town called South Ward. And then, of course, we had one high school building. But then, of course, those days, we always walked to school. There were no not very many automobiles in those days. Most of us walked to school. Incidentally, I didn't live but four blocks from school. I didn't live very far. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a problem for me and my friends to get to school. And it's quite interesting, too, that perhaps you have never experienced this, but in those days, it was done in all the schools in Texas, I suppose. The children marched, always marched out of the building, and never were just say you're dismissed from class and they start running. Everybody marched from his room out to out the door, and then out to and you stayed in line until your teacher told you you were dismissed. And then we marched by a gong that sounded off, not in words but in sound, left. Left, left, right, left, 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 right, left, and we marched, regimented kind of like soldiers are today. And when we got ready to come back into the building, say like at the lunch period, a bell would ring and we'd run and get in line, our line. And we had a certain spot in the line. We knew we couldn't get at the end if we belonged at the front. Everybody had his spot and his place in line. And then the gong would sound off and we'd start marching in and march into our rooms. Everybody was organized.
Did they serve meals here or where you went to school?
No, not during the time that I was in elementary. And what we call grammar school is now known as junior high or middle school during those years. But when in high school, they did have a cafeteria later, much later, in a new building that was built say like in 1924, it was built. And they had a cafeteria in the high school, but not the elementary. We all took our lunch if we needed to take our lunch, which was very seldom. Our mother would let us take our lunch on a rainy day. But most of the time, we had one full hour for lunch, And we could walk home and eat and then get back to school in time. I had a real loving experience with my father. He always walked back to school with me at lunch every day. And at a certain spot, he had to turn and go to town to his office. And I'd go straight ahead to school. And he'd always give me a nickel to buy a Hershey bar. There were little stores around the school. We could, and I bought a chocolate, you know, a Hershey bar. That was my favorite. I loved that a lot.
Did y'all get to change classes for, like, reading and math?
We did after we were in high school, but not until then. Through grammar school, the teachers changed. Everybody was assigned a room, and he stayed in that room all day. The teachers had the privilege of going from one class to the other. Of course, when we were in the first four grades, we just had one teacher. We didn't have departmental. But when we got in the fifth grade, then we had four teachers. And then in the sixth grade, four teachers. Sixth and seventh grade was grammar school then. Then 8, 9, 10, and 11 was high school. And then, but we had English teacher in the fifth grade. We had an English teacher and a math teacher and a music teacher, and had a history teacher. And then sometimes those teachers would teach maybe more than one thing. Uh-huh. More than one subject.
Did you have, like, back then where you could have book clubs, like the Troll Book Club, where you could order books and things?
No, we did not have that. In fact, in our elementary and grammar school, we did not have access to a library. But that was very usual for, at that time, of course, for schools that size, which was one not the top size school, but it was one of the better graded schools in Texas at that time, and one of the larger ones at that particular point. I'd like to tell you this, and this perhaps has not been told. We had to buy our textbooks until we were about the fourth grade, probably. We bought our own books. And in our town, the store that we bought them from was a drugstore, but it was called the Book Depository. Public Schools Textbook Depository. And we would go there to buy our books, and our dad always went with us to buy our books. But there was another thing also in that situation, too. If you were in a large family, as I was, I could use my brothers and sisters' books that had been ahead of me, because textbooks didn't change that often in those days as they do now. And so we would use the textbooks in our family were always saved. And sometimes we would buy textbooks from older friends, other families. But we had to buy them ourselves, our own textbooks. I think perhaps textbook furnished by the state might have come in somewhere in the 20s, probably, sometime in the 20s. I think that's an interesting point, because the children today don't know what it means to go and purchase a textbook. They have to purchase their supplies and things like that, but not their textbooks. But the state of Texas did not furnish the textbooks in those days.
Did you have notebooks like the Trapper and the Organizer back then, you know, where you could keep all your stuff in it, or did you just have your pad and pencil and your crayons and things?
Well, we had mostly just our pads and crayons and just the general materials and supplies. And we had to buy all of that, too. We bought all of our own construction paper, and the way we'd work that, maybe we'd take a nickel to school, and the teacher would buy the construction paper for everybody. Everybody took a nickel, see? And you can't believe that a nickel can buy anything. I know, but in those days it did buy something. And we'd take our money, and she would do that.
About how much were your clothing back then? Was it anything, you know, like Like, my grandmother one time bought a skirt for $110, so I don't think, you know, your clothes probably weren't that high.
Maybe. No, they were certainly not that expensive in those days as far as my clothes were concerned. My mother sewed, and she had five girls to sew for. So she made our clothes, and I could not tell you really. I couldn't put a price tag on it because I don't really know what they cost because she bought fabrics or made skirts. I was kind of little,
yeah,
and I had maybe make my skirt out of a larger sister's after she had worn out the seat, maybe, and Mama would do something about getting it to fit me and cutting out the bad parts.
Yeah.
But we did not have many ready-made clothes in those days for children in the department stores. Very few. There were some. Now, I'm speaking of the days, say like from 1915 to up until 1920. And then, of course, things were different after that. There were more department stores that handled children's clothes. But most of my clothes my mother made.
Mm-hmm. Well, now some kids will get their shoes left. They'll get like maybe two pairs every year, something like that. About, you know, they didn't have to wear them out, you know, they just get another pair if they wanted them. What about y'all? Did y'all have to just wear them out?
Yes,
really
we had
just couldn't wear them anymore, you know.
That's right. We wore out our shoes. But there was this other thing, too, about that, though. We had what we called Sunday clothes. And we had shoes and a dress and, of course, coats. And we wore caps. Children wore caps. And if you're talking about children, mm-hmm. And we wore things different on Sunday. We came home from Sunday school and church. Those clothes came off, and they were hanging in the closet then for a week. But we wore about the same things every Sunday. We outgrew that. Most of them we didn't wear out. And we wore a lot of hand-me-down clothes, as I said. My sisters and clothes, because I was one of the younger ones, and we could wear them. But we were just as proud of them. To begin with, it was a lot of fun to get to wear your big sister's dress, finally.
Yeah.
If you thought you ever got that big and smart as your big sister, and then we had to wear her dress, that was a lot of fun.
Was it proper for a teenager or something, and, you know, girls to wear makeup back then?
No, we didn't wear makeup until we were in high school. Probably our senior year, we wore makeup, which was very little. But we did have rouge and lipstick, but we didn't have eyeshadow and things like that. It was just powder, face powder, and a little rouge and lipstick. And we were permitted. Our mother let us because we would be going to the high school fairs. The other girls dressed up and used a little makeup.
Yeah.
But it was not ruled out in our home. Probably in some homes it was ruled out. But our mother permitted us to wear some makeup.
Did they have, like, mascara and eyebrow pencils and all that? Yeah.
Well, yes. That. But it wasn't generally used by the teenager. And it wasn't it wasn't a real fad. To that extent,
mm-hmm.
the eye makeup was not so popular. But hairdos were very, very important in those days.
What kinds of hairdos did most of the teenagers get?
Well, we all wore, of course, I had bobbed hair, and that was, you know, almost a disgrace when you cut your long hair off. When bobbed hair first came into to being, we were teenagers, and we just wore short. And we wore what they called Marcel waves, and you'd get that at the beauty shop. I can't go into all of that, and we wouldn't have time to go into all that to explain what it was, but it was done with an iron that was a triple iron, and it was in different sections, and there'll just be a very few people who remember the Marcel wave.
Did y'all have, were the teachers, where they had running off machines, did they just have to write out everything down like that? You know, like, like they have these things that they run off today. And
yes.
Stuff. Did they have that then?
No, not in my day. I had those when I first taught school in 1928. We had some of that. But the teachers did most of theirs with carbon paper. You know what that is? All right, they would do it on carbon sheets, and maybe they could make three copies at a time. And then they had another device, a little thing that they used, and it was a gummy pad that they could ink and then make impressions of their... Probably you've seen that, and I'm not real sure what that was called, but I can remember seeing my teacher do some of that. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly a great thing to happen because they could do so many more so much faster.
Did they have like certain machines where you could get your ears pierced and, you know, wear earrings and things like that?
In those days? Oh, yes. Mainly, you're talking about in fashion, in the field of fashion. Yes. That is an old fashion to have your ears pierced, and at times it was customary for, well, you could scarcely be in fashion if you didn't have your ears pierced and wear earrings or ear studs like diamonds and pearls and other jewels. So you feel like that. Then there was a recess. That was not done until, again, you know, about 10 years ago that it started being fashionable again. And then that's when I had my ears pierced. It wasn't when I was young. But in those days, it was just the grown-ups. Children never had their ears pierced. But I love it. I think it's kind of, I've seen little bitty girls, little tiny children with their ears pierced. And I think it's sweet for a little girl to be that feminine and want to wear jewelry, and I think it's simply a great fashion.
Did the girls, did they, even in their play clothes, did they ever get to wear shorts or pants, or did they just have to wear strictly dresses?
In my day, no, we did not wear shorts and blue jeans, you might say, or slacks in my day, to school. Now, when I was preschool age, little girls wore what they called rompers, and it was a little blousy pants thing, short, with elastic in the legs, just above the knee. And little boys wore rompers. So that's as close as we got to be like little boys, was to be, just to wear rompers. But little girls wore rompers. But when we started school, we wore dresses. High school even. We didn't wear. See, I finished high school in 1925. And that's been a long, long time ago. And those were the days when we could finish high school a little younger than you can now. Because I was only 16 when I finished high school. Because I was permitted to take two... major courses, required courses, during the summer. Now, they don't let you do that anymore in high school. If you take any summer work, you might take one new subject and one repeat. But I didn't need to repeat any, so they let me take American history and fourth year English. And then I took six subjects when I was a senior in high school. Now, you can't do that anymore. So I could finish in 3 years. I finished high school in 3 years. Then I did my college work in 3 years. So I was just 19 when I got my degree.
Yeah.
Which, of course, not many do that anymore. But some do. But that was pretty common in those days.
Yeah. Did about how much did most of the men make? Were the women permitted to work or anything?
Yes, the women worked. Women worked all right. But it wasn't... generally done.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few homes. Most of the time, it would be the women who were working in the business of their husbands, the family business. They might be working in the department stores or drug stores or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They would just be helping out, more or less. But most mothers, and housewives in those days just worked at home. Mm-hmm. And that's plenty of work. But anyway, they were mothers and wives that stayed in the homes.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you mind telling me what your age is?
I don't mind at all. I was born on August the 17th, 1908. Now, if you can figure that up right quick. If you can't, I'll just tell you. We
I don't think I
save
can
our time. Well, I'm 73. Mm-hmm. I'm 73 years old.
Do you know about the lake that, do you know when, what year they made it?
And you're talking about the lake here in Granbury. Yes, I do. We moved to Granbury in 1969 after having spent from 1930 through 1969 teaching school. My husband and I did, and we retired in 1969, and that's 12 years ago, you know, on July the 4th, incidentally. And the lake did not come in until in September. And we were not, of course, we live on the lake. Mm-hmm. Our home, we built a home in the spring of 69 before we moved out. And we live on the lake. And we always had a lot of fun talking about how fast it came in. You know, we were not expecting it in September. But suddenly it began to come in, and we were quite frightened. We just would wear our life jackets to bed. We didn't know how high that lake was going to get. But of course, we were just having some fun and conversation, making conversation. But before the lake, of course, it was just riverbed. Mm-hmm. And on our part of the lake, we had a lot of cedar trees. We still have a lot of cedar trees, but all that was cleared out. But I do remember that much. My husband grew up here, he was here from the time he was 5 years old, or a little before. He was 5 years old, and then we married in 1930. I met him at college, McMurray College, in Abilene. He came there to school, came to my hometown to school, and we went to the same college. And that's where we met. But I visited in Granbury then. Of course, I considered myself a visiting citizen. Mm-hmm. I have been around for 51 years.
Yeah. When the people went swimming, did they wear a bathing suit, or did they, you know, the
in my day,
two-piece or the one-piece or what?
Well, yes, we wore bathing suits. And incidentally, I learned to swim. And this is a little unusual in those days, for someone to learn to swim as young as I did, but I had the opportunity. And we had one-piece bathing suits. In fact, my first bathing suit that I was the proudest of was a red Janssen. It was knit, and it was one-piece, and it was kind of low in the back. And I learned to swim when I was about 12 years old. And of course, kids learn a lot much earlier now, but in those days they didn't. And I skated. I had roller skates, and I learned to ride a bicycle when I was about 9 years old, 8 or 9, and I still ride my bicycle. Not that one, but
yeah.
I still ride a bicycle. I have a bicycle of my own, and I ride it. Mm-hmm. And of course, I enjoy that very much. I don't try to skate roller skating. My grandchildren come out and they skate on the drive, but I'm a little old, I expect, for that, and I wouldn't want to, just on purpose, break a bone or something.
Yeah. About, you know, about how old were you when you were allowed to get married and have children?
Well, I was 21 when I married. Marriages were allowed earlier, that much younger than that, if one cared to. But my goal in life, of course, at that point, was to make sure that I finished college, had a degree, and I taught school 2 years before I married, even though my husband, the man I married, we knew each other much younger than that. And he wanted to finish his degree, and they don't do that much anymore. They go ahead and marry while they're in college. But the economy was much different in those days. It was hard, very difficult for either one of us to have worked and gone to school. And these days, it isn't that way. They work and go to school, and they can live together as husband and wife. But in our day, we both just chose not to marry until we finished school. And then I finished a year ahead of him because he took out a year to teach and then went back. And then I did my work in 3 years, and he took four. And so that's the way that worked out for us. Mm-hmm. Now, others perhaps married younger than that, but one of them would usually stop to work. You know, mm-hmm. maybe the wife would not go on to school. But and as far as age was concerned, that actually wasn't necessarily a factor in whether they were given permission. But if you're talking about parental permission, that didn't make a whole lot of difference. I don't think teenagers, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls and boys, didn't think about marriage in those days. Mm. They were usually thinking of 21, 22, and 23.
Well, I guess that's all.
I had a few things that I thought would be probably you would maybe be interested in your interview. When we were going to school, I can remember a reader that was, the name of it was Art Literature. And I loved that reader so much, and we had it for 2 years. Book one in the second grade, and book three in the book two in the third grade. Well, and then another thing that I had the privilege of learning was penmanship. That's writing. Mm-hmm. Do you have formal writing?
Well, we did last year, but we're not having it this year.
And the two systems that we were taught in my growing up, the Palmer system was one that the state recommended, and the other one was the Minnie B. Graves system. Mm-hmm. And we worked for certificates, and I had to do so much so well, and so I thought that would be interesting for you to think about. We had, in high school in those days, we only had to have 16 credits for graduation. And now, of course, that requirement is greater. And they offer much more electives in high school now than they did in my day, because we only had English and history and math and science, of course, several sciences. And foreign language. We had some music and speech. And of course, in our science, we had biology and chemistry and home economics, they called it, mm-hmm. then. And then another electives were civics and Texas history and economics. And I think that's interesting. But now, yeah. Of course, we didn't have a PE when I was in high school, but they had it later. It was. Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking about, say, from 1915 to 1925 when I'm telling you what I experienced.
What type of desk did you have? Like, the ones we have now are the ones with they're connected to the chairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had desks that were, and I've seen them probably in this school system, a desk in front of with a tray underneath here, and then a seat, sort of a little bench-like seat, mm-hmm. and those were usually either anchored to the floor on rails or just to the wooden floors. We had wooden floors, mm-hmm. and but everybody had a seat, a desk, from the time that I started to school, because when in our system, in the Avenue system, it was beginning to be very modern in. For that day, mm-hmm. and they did have the best facilities, educational facilities and opportunities for children. It wasn't like a one-room schoolroom, you know, one-room mm-hmm. school and one-teacher school or whatever. And we were privileged to. We were getting into what would be considered educational progress, even in those days, as far as those days were concerned. It was considered that, and we had. The opportunity of growing with it. mm-hmm. at that time when the state of Texas was coming into the school system a little bit more. And as I say, we had to buy our books at that point, but earlier. But by the time I was in the fourth grade, and I'm sure the fifth grade, the state of Texas was furnishing the textbooks.
Mm-hmm. Did you have like when you were in fifth grade and fourth grade, did you have like 4F and 4C?
No, we didn't have those organizations. You're talking about the
different
No, we did not have those classes. Now you tell me what you mean by 4F and 4C.
Well, we go in ABC order, like we have from okay. This is 4B, I think it says there.
I see.
And we go in, like, there's, like, about 5 fifth grades.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth grade rooms, and,
yes.
like, there's 4, I mean, there's 5C, I'm in 5C, and there's 5B, 5F, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it just goes on.
I see.
So,
well, all right, let me explain to you. That's a very good question, and that you've asked me. And it didn't occur to me to really make that clear. I misunderstood your question to begin with. But when I started the school, you start in the low first. That's the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I was saying that when we entered the school, say it's low first grade.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean low anything except that it's just the first semester,
mm-hmm.
the first half of the year. Then we were promoted to the second semester, which was called high first. Then at the end of the year, after that year, we went into low second, see, and then high second, and low third, and high third. And that just meant first and second semesters. And that's the way it arranged through the fourth grade. And then in the fifth grade, by the time I got to fifth grade, we were having departmental work. And we just spent the year then, like you do today.
Okay. Well, I guess that's all.
Well, all right. I've enjoyed visiting with you a whole lot. I hope that you will at least accrue a little bit from what we've said.
Yeah.